Hi, I'm Brad Blaylock.
And I'm Brad McKeon, and welcome to the Brad Report. Warning, the Brad Report contains spoilers. This episode is brought to you by Bedtime Stories. Don't go to sleep without one. The Brad Report can be found on Apple, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor, and Spotify. Please rate and review us 5 stars only and make sure you subscribe. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Brad Report. And this past week, we wrapped up Phase 2 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Ant-Man. And this week, we'll be taking a break from our Marvel run to belly flop into the monster mashup Godzilla vs. Kong, which was released in theaters and on HBO Max. So, our summary, Godzilla vs. Kong. Kong and his protectors undertake a perilous journey to find his true home. Along for the ride is Gia, an orphan girl who has a unique and powerful bond with the mighty beast. However, they soon find themselves in the path of an enraged Godzilla as he cuts a swath of destruction across the globe. The initial confrontation between the two titans, instigated by unseen forces, is only the beginning of the mystery that lies deep within the core of the planet.
There you go.
There you go.
That's the movie.
That is the movie.
And all right, folks, that's our episode. Tune in next week.
Exactly. So, this, we were kind of discussing, Brad and I, amongst ourselves, of what to do with this movie, because we usually talk about themes, and there aren't really a lot of themes in this movie.
Yeah, there are some, but that's not, you know, it's just not the point of these movies necessarily.
Yeah. So what is the point of these? What are the points of these movies?
To have fun.
Exactly. So we're going to try and have fun and just talk about why these movies are fun and what we like about this movie specifically. So our first aspect of storytelling is that there were 2 Godzilla movies and 1 King Kong movie that preceded this one in terms of that are inside this universe. Mm. Because, you know, there was a Godzilla movie in the early 2000s, and there have been past King Kong movies. There was the Peter Jackson one. There was the original King Kong.
I mean, there's like 40 Godzilla movies.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but yeah, but the ones that are in this universe is Godzilla, which had Bryan Cranston in it. And then the most recent Godzilla was Godzilla King of the Monsters.
That's right.
With Millie Bobby Brown. And then the King Kong movie was Kong Skull Island, which had Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson, Samuel L. Jackson in it. And that was set around the time of the Vietnam War, I believe. And yeah, so it was, you know, all good movies. And that's kind of setting up this movie, is that Godzilla and Kong both exist. And in the premise is that we see this artwork of these two species were ancient enemies. And it's their instincts to fight one another,
right?
Or to battle against one another. So that is kind of the premise of Godzilla versus Kong. So what do you think of this movie in particular, movies that play off of what if scenarios? Like, what if Godzilla and Kong fought each other? What if Batman and, or what if Superman and the Hulk fought each other? Or, you know, those kinds of situations.
Oh, I love it. So one of the things I like to ask, like, my students, just like random times, like a recess or something, if I've got recess duty, I'll just ask them, hey, who would win in a fight? Let's see, like 4 wolves or 1 gorilla? And just see what they say.
Yeah.
And so I love stuff like this. And yeah. So I've actually been trying to think of, I've got a couple questions for you of who would win.
Ooh, okay.
So who would win in a fight? Balrog from Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Or King Kong?
This King Kong?
This King Kong.
I think this King Kong is a lot bigger.
What about Smaug?
So, Ooh, I think Smog would roast him.
You think he'd roast him?
Yeah.
He'd have to get close enough.
But he could fly over him.
But he has to get close enough to
roast him. That's true. I mean...
In the desolation, it's not like he's 200 feet away.
Yeah. Well, he's
swooping in.
King Kong dodged some of Godzilla's blasts. So he did. I would say King Kong.
Over Smog?
Yeah. Who do you say?
I don't know.
Yeah, come on. What you got an answer too? This isn't just one-sided Brad podcast.
I think King Kong smashes Balrog to pieces.
Absolutely.
I think Smog gives him a run for his money.
I think he's definitely more challenged by Smog than by the Balrog.
I think
just because of his sheer size.
Yeah, I think he gives him a run for his money. All right, what about have you seen Cloverfield?
I know there's a big monster in it.
But you haven't seen it?
No.
Okay, never mind. Have you seen Pacific Rim, the first one?
Yeah.
So the big kaiju at the end, Itachi.
Yeah.
You remember that one?
Yeah.
So that kaiju versus... Does he even, like, threaten Godzilla? Or is it just a beatdown?
Godzilla is so dominant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go with Godzilla, right?
Okay. Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I agree. Godzilla kills him.
Yeah. Okay.
Godzilla is the king of all monsters, I think.
He had a movie called that.
He did. So what if we... all right. So you thought King Kong would beat Smog and Balrog. And I'm assuming you say he beats the kaiju as well.
I think so. I think it's close. It's closer than...
Okay. If that's close, I have a good one, I think.
Okay.
Pacific Rim, the Jaeger. Gypsy Danger.
Which one is that?
The Jaeger? No, that's the suit.
Oh, okay. The blue one.
Yeah, yeah. The suit that saves the day.
Yeah.
That versus King Kong.
I don't know, because Mechagodzilla was beating up on Godzilla, even though he was weakened with the fight with Kong.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I want to think that King Kong would just, he'd be able to come out on top. That's what I want to think. I don't know if that would happen, though. You know? What do you think?
I'm going to be honest. I think Gypsy Danger, the Jaeger,
would
wipe the floor with King Kong.
Okay.
It would be almost, not quite, but almost as lopsided as Godzilla fighting Kong.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. The first one was definitely lopsided.
So was the second one.
The second one was less lopsided.
Okay, but I think Gypsy Danger would crush him.
All right, Gypsy Danger. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Pacific Rim. Do you like the first Pacific Rim or the second one better?
Oh, first.
Yeah.
First one's like my favorite monster movie.
Okay.
Ever. I love that movie so much.
That's awesome. It's a lot of fun. So you're obviously you love Godzilla more than King Kong.
Yeah. Right? So I like Godzilla. Fine.
Yeah.
I think Godzilla's a good character. Godzilla, I meant Kong. But Godzilla, I think, has like actual like historical significance and I mean so much importance to Asian culture.
Mm-hmm.
He's so freaking awesome. He's a nuclear dinosaur. I don't know if you can get better than that, you know?
Yeah. And King Kong is just a big gorilla.
King Kong is just a big gorilla.
All right. So what did you think of the visual effects of this movie? Because obviously if it's a giant nuclear dinosaur and a giant gorilla that are as tall as skyscrapers, that's not really happening.
Right.
But it has to look good.
Sure.
What did you think of how everything looked, including the battleships, the world they went into, the Hollow Earth, all of those things, the battles, the fights, the Mecha Godzilla, all of that. What did you think?
I thought it looked great. I thought that it was so. I had some friends who were kind of messing with me about this movie because they were like, why don't you just watch it on your TV? Like, just log into HBO Max and watch. I was like, you can't watch a movie where the main character is 100-something feet tall on a 10-inch, you know, on a TV. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
And it looked great. It looked awesome.
It was awesome. So we saw it in IMAX, which that was the first IMAX movie I've been to ever, I think, because I've never wanted to splurge the $20 for it. But it was a spectacle for sure.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And it looked really, really good. And unlike some movies that have done computer-generated fights like Transformers, where you can't even tell what's happening because... Or in the later ones, you just see these machines just fighting. I don't know what's happening. I don't know who's fighting. I just see these machines moving. But with this, it looks really, really good.
It does.
And it's really, really clear. And it was a lot of fun. And the fight scenes were really well done.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing about Godzilla versus Kong in terms of why.
Okay.
So we talked earlier about how this movie doesn't have a ton of like literary kind of notch to it. But like Godzilla historically kind of does.
Absolutely.
You know, he was created to be a representation or like a metaphor for the bombing of Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
And the after effects of that, right? Like his presence in the you know, the fictional city or in Tokyo or wherever they place him in setting, right? It was originally designed to mimic the destruction that the atomic bombs created.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I think he does have way more significance and meaning than Kong. And I'm sure if there is some significance to Kong, I just don't know it.
I'm doing a live Googling of when was King Kong. So King Kong, the first one, it was made in 1933. I'm pretty sure it was a silent film. I'm not 100% sure, but apparently that movie was revolutionary in 1933. And Peter Jackson, director of Lord of the Rings, and he remade this movie. He said it was one of his favorite movies ever.
Really?
So I've never seen the original, but people apparently, and I'm not saying that just for American culture, the gorilla fighting and just looking like it was actually just on the Empire State Building or what they believe back then, apparently looked really good. And I'm not saying that just for film's sake, film history, but it does not have as much cultural stake as Godzilla for sure.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
All right. Why do we love movies like this? Because it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. They're fun.
It's a giant monkey and a nuclear dinosaur.
Yeah. When we got into the theater, or when you said, I really want to go see this movie, I was pretty hesitant.
Really?
And I was just like, okay, we can do an episode. Because there was a few episodes ago, you said, or maybe it was when we were guest hosts on the rankings. You said, oh, we're going to do Godzilla versus Kong. Yeah. And I was like, we have not talked about that. It's like, he's throwing a... This, like, it's a sure thing. It was the first thing you said, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. And I was like, what? But watching the movie, this is a lot of fun.
It was fun.
A lot of fun. And it was okay. It was like, you know, there weren't a lot of themes. There weren't a lot of,
no,
like, hey, this is what this means.
There weren't fantastic quotes.
No.
Not a ton. You know, it's fun.
It was fun. And just saying, like, okay, what would it be like to have Godzilla and King Kong, these huge figures, fight each other, and make it interesting.
And there are, to be clear, there are some like monster movies that have a little more literary depth. Like Shin Godzilla came out in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a reimagined Godzilla, and it's more. Godzilla doesn't help at all. You know, he's more of a force of nature.
Yeah,
it has some real like questions about infrastructure and how do we respond to natural disasters and but this was just fun, you know.
Yeah, this is just it was just a fun the scientists, the humans, they're trying to discover who the bad guys are and what their motives are and how are they manipulating things. and the other team is, oh, how do we protect King Kong from Godzilla? And that's it. You know, that's the motives of the movie or of things. But yeah, it's a fun movie. It's real enjoyable. If you're looking to just be entertained by, it's, you know, the bad guys that get their comeuppance. Yeah. It has a satisfying ending, an expected kind of ending, and it's really good.
Yeah, it is.
So here we go. Getting to characters, but our characters will be broken up into teams, if I can learn how to talk. So first we have Team Kong, Nathan Lind. He's played by one of the Skarsgårds, Alexander Skarsgård. And he has this theory about Hollow Earth. There's this oasis, utopia, kind of, this is where Kong and Godzilla lived before they came up onto Earth. And there's some emotional things that his brother tried to go down there, and there's an issue with the gravity, and he was crushed immediately. Then you have Eileen Andrews, who is Rebecca Hall. She's kind of the Kong expert, and she's the one that's kind of in charge of the research. And then Jaya, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. It's J-I-A. She's the native of Skull Island. But there was a flood, and the rest of her people were washed away, and Eileen kind of adopted her.
Right.
And she has a connection with Kong. Then in Team Godzilla, you have Madison Russell, who is Millie Bobby Brown, who returns from Godzilla, King of the Monsters. You have Bernie Hayes, who is played by Brian Tyree Henry, and he's kind of this conspiracy theorist that infiltrates his way into Apex, and Apex is the company that gets attacked by Godzilla, but we find out that they're building Mecha Godzilla, and he kind of has this podcast that it's almost conspiracy theories of why Godzilla has certain attacks, what's the government hiding from us, that sort of thing. Then you have Josh Valentine, who is played by Julian Dennison, who is just kind of Millie Bobby Brown's sidekick character, who's kind of the straight man, who's like, oh, this is crazy, this is ridiculous, I can't believe we're, you know, the person that's hesitant on the journey. That's Team Godzilla. And then you have Team Apex, who are the villains. And so you've got the CEO, the CEO's daughter, you've got the scientist that's the monster expert, and they all get there. They're creating Mecha Godzilla to try and control it, kind of like in Pacific Rim, they have these pilot-controlled machines so that they can kill Godzilla. And Godzilla somehow knows this and is seeking to destroy their facilities. And then that's where you get the main conflict with Team Apex. So what did you think of overall of – we'll start out with Team Kong. What did you think of Team Kong? That kind of storyline.
Yeah, I thought that the character of Gia was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought her connection to Kong was really cool. Eventually, you learn that Kong knows how to speak in sign language. He knows how to communicate using human language. And the only person he's done that with is her.
Which is really cool.
So he's had this entire team of scientists studying him and watching him. And the only person he's communicating with is this little girl.
Yeah.
Who... I believe, and didn't they say he saved her from the flood?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So they have this special connection that's really interesting. Nathan Lin was interesting just as far as like a plot device goes, right? Someone had need to suggest the center of the earth, and it happened to be him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He kind of is like, he has these moments where, for me, I was like, is he a good guy?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think he's a good guy, but I'm not sure if he's a good guy.
And by the end, you see that he is when he's, you know, willing to sacrifice himself, but doesn't sacrifice himself to defibrillate Kong.
Yeah, resurrect him. He risked it, but it was able to escape.
I thought Eileen was.
She's okay.
She's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the same. Like, Gio is really great, and she doesn't say anything. She speaks sign language, and she uses that way of communication that Eileen taught her to speak and connect with Kong. And she's the one that kind of convinces Kong to go to the center of the earth.
Yeah.
Or the hollow earth, whatever. Team Godzilla.
I like the people on Team Godzilla more.
They're characters. A lot of fun. A lot of the humor comes from their side.
I didn't love Madison Russell, Millie Bobby Brown's character at first. I was like, okay, like it's his daughter. I get that. You know, he was important, and you know, it's his daughter, and she's interested in Godzilla too. That's cool.
Yeah.
But then when Josh and Bernie all got together, they were funny.
It was really a lot of fun.
They had a really good little trio going. They were funny.
Yeah. It was great. Then when at the end, final scene where Josh is trying to hack the password and they're kind of criticizing him, and Bernie's like giving up, and he's like, well, I'm about to die. So he tries to take a drink of his whiskey, and Josh takes it and pours it on the computer and shorts it out. And he's like, great, now I got to die sober.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really a lot of fun. And when they're walking around the complexes, I kept thinking to myself, never in my wildest dreams would I do that. And just say,
no,
like,
gosh.
So no. It's like, oh yeah, I'll just do that and I won't get caught. Like, are you kidding me?
Woo.
That was one part where I was just like, man, the gall and on these kids and Bernie to say, like, we're going to do this. It was amazing. But yeah. And then Team Apex, they're the bad guys. There's not much to say that they're evil because they want power and control. And oh, he's like, oh, we're going to be the next Apex Predators. And I was like, how did I not pick up on that earlier? Yeah. I felt really dumb. yeah. But anyways, but Apex. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Scene. So we don't really have any quotes. Nothing that's, you know, super meaningful. So we're just going to cover the scenes today. And we'll just do popcorn style.
Yeah.
You go first.
All right. One of the best Kong scenes, I thought, was when Kong speaks.
When
he's on the boat and he's having a little bit of a fit. And Gia goes out there and she reaches her hand up and Kong reaches his finger down and they touch. And then she signs to him and he signs back. That was a really cool moment. I did not expect that. I'm not super familiar with like King Kong movies just in general. So I don't know if this is a thing he does in other movies or if this is a thing he's done in the past, but I certainly wasn't expecting him to have the capability of like human language. Yeah. And so that was really cool to see.
Yeah. So the only other Kong movie I've seen was Skull Island.
Yeah.
And he does not do sign language in that one.
No.
And yeah, but yeah, that was a really cool twist. Immediately after that, I think the first fight in the ocean.
Oh, so good.
Was so good. And, you know, Godzilla can breathe underwater and he has the distinct advantage already just because he's bigger. He's a nuclear dinosaur. Mm-hmm. But then being able to breathe and swim and have so much more fluidity of movement and attacks. And the suspense was really gripping. And it was really exciting to see Kong escape and Kong try and fight and kind of get it handed to him in that one specifically.
Yeah, that's good. Next one is, for me, it's the Hong Kong fight, right? Like the big fight between Godzilla and Kong and in Hong Kong, where Kong is in the Hollow Earth, right? And Godzilla blows his atomic breath down a hole all the way to the center of it. Godzilla climbs up out of it, and they fight. And Godzilla wins again.
Yes, he does. They kind of had a break where it's like three rounds was like, oh, well, Kong won round two, quote unquote, but he didn't really win.
Right.
He kind of knocked him down for a second. Godzilla got back up.
He knocked him down and waited to take like a shot when he wasn't expecting. He jumped on his back.
Yeah.
And then Godzilla just threw him off and then eventually like really put his foot down. And
yeah.
Stomped on his chest, yelled in his face, and walked off. And yeah. That's when you know the fight's over.
Oh, the fight was definitely over.
Yeah. Godzilla wins.
And you called it.
Yeah. Well, of course. You can't make King Kong win.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's a nuclear dinosaur.
It was good. Yeah. I thought going into the Hollow Earth was really cool.
Yeah.
When they're in the, what did they call them? I forget what they called the ships. There was something really specific.
Yeah, and there's an acronym.
Yeah, and so they're in these ships that, like, the gravity switches and watching them go and watching things flip. And then even in Hollow Earth, like, things being upside down with stuff on the ground and then looking up and land being on the ceiling as well, because gravity's all wacky. And I was like, are we in Inception right now?
Yeah.
But that was really, really cool. Really cool graphics.
I thought that obviously the Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah, I had that as well.
Versus Godzilla and Kong fight. That has to be mentioned.
Oh, absolutely.
It was interesting that they made it so that Mechagodzilla was like beating up Godzilla so bad. I did not see that coming. I thought it'd be a little more of an even fight, and then Kong would come to push him over the top. But without Kong, Godzilla does not win that fight.
No.
At least in this, presentation of the universe. So that was really interesting. And the ending where they kind of nod to each other and, respect.
Respect. Yeah.
And walk away was fun.
Yeah, that one was really, really fun. But I thought, so I don't know if you were expecting this, but the Mecha Godzilla reveal, I was not expecting that.
For it to be Mecha Godzilla?
Yeah.
Oh, I was.
Okay. See, I wasn't expecting it. When I saw it happen, I guess I should have picked it up when Bernie saw at the beginning there was an eye. I should have realized, like, oh, they're building a giant Mecha Godzilla.
Well, here's the thing. So obviously going into this movie, you know that the general plot is going to be Kong versus Godzilla. They fight a couple times, and then eventually something comes that is a greater threat, and so they team up to take it down.
Batman v Superman.
Yeah, did you know that's the that's the plot?
That's the general predictable plot.
That's the plot. You know that's the plot. And so there's only a handful of options for them to fight. You have Destora. You have King Ghidorah. But Ghidorah's already been fought. Mothra's already come and gone. At this point, Mechagodzilla was kind of like the
only option.
Right. Well, just Destora, who hasn't been seen yet. So, but they maybe save that for a future movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, you knew there's only a handful of options, and Mechagodzilla made a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. It was fun.
Did you like the whole Hollow Earth bit? Do you think that was fun?
I thought it was cool. The
idea of it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's not real, but.
You sure?
Oh my gosh.
Have you seen that movie Journey to the Center of the Earth?
With Brendan Fraser?
I guess.
And then Journey 2 with The Rock?
Yeah.
I have not seen either.
They're horrible.
Yeah. yeah, I have not seen them.
I remember watching those when I was a kid. I was like, huh, that's a neat idea. And then I did some, and then I was like, I thought about it for a second. I was like, no.
Doesn't make sense. Well, it was a Jules Verne book originally, yeah. Journey to the Center of the Earth. So cool concept, but not real.
Well, yeah. Who cares?
Who cares?
Godzilla.
Neither's Godzilla or King Kong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but it's fun. Okay, speaking of Hollow Earth, what do you want to see in the next movies? What do you want to see in the next Godzilla movie? And yeah. It looks like there's definitely... They don't do so. They spend a lot more time with King Kong than Godzilla in this movie. And they definitely have King Kong at the end in Hollow Earth, back home.
Yeah.
Where his people come from, where giant gorillas come from, whatever. So they're definitely setting up for that next movie and probably going to set up for the next Godzilla movie as well.
Yeah.
What do you want to see, or what do you think we'll see?
I think the obvious thing, like you said, for Kong is... You have a King Kong movie, King Kong 2. It's him in Hollow Earth figuring out what monsters are there and establishing his throne, right? So you saw at the beginning when he was in there, his authority as the alpha was not recognized. Like, he was challenged immediately by these two flying dragon things.
Yeah.
And so I think there obviously will be some sort of process of him establishing his alpha-ness, right? Because he has a throne and he's sitting on it there, but...
He's the king.
He's got to establish it, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the clear movie for him. I think for Godzilla, they'll have to introduce another monster somehow. Maybe one from Hollow Earth escapes at the end of the movie, or runs away, or or finds a way up because of Kong's presence. It creates an opening for him to leave or something.
Yeah.
Maybe you get Destora or some other monster. Or maybe they just make up a new monster.
Yeah. You know? That'd be really cool.
So,
yeah. No, I think that's super solid.
But I think Kong's next movie is more concrete in terms of idea and what they do than Godzilla.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say one of the things that I thought was really cool that Because apparently, in the trailer we see that Kong has an axe.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if that was historical, like from past movies or not, or if they just made that up for this movie. But it was really cool to see that there was an ancestor of King Kong's that taken an ancestral like spike from Godzilla and turned it into an axe. Because
it's a dorsal fin.
Yeah, it's a dorsal fin that is able to absorb the radiation and like radioactive nuclear blast power, which is super cool. But I thought that was really fun. It adds to the history between those characters that Kong has his weapon from his ancestors is a piece of one of Godzilla's ancestors that they either killed or beat or injured or was able to take this fin from, you know?
Yeah, I do think I think one way they could set up the next movie, you said the hilt of the axe is a bone.
Big bone.
Don't think it's a Godzilla bone.
No.
I think there are a couple of creatures in the Monsterverse that are, like, there's a hell hawk and a couple other, like, flying creatures.
It's not a hawk bone.
That I think potentially they could say like the hilt is made out of, and they could do a couple movies like that. But there's another monster that the axe is made out of, and I'm curious to know what it is.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Okay, getting into questions. We're in questions. More questions.
Yes.
If you were to take a monster and increase it to Godzilla or King Kong size to try and beat them in a fight, can't be Godzilla or King Kong, which animal would you choose?
Wait, am I choosing a monster or just an animal?
An animal, monster, whatever.
An animal. Okay.
We'll say an animal.
What animal would I choose to beat? Can I just fight Kong? Because it's clearly the...
Yeah, you can fight Kong.
A hippopotamus. A hippopotamus proportional the size
of a gorilla
of Kong, you know, is
huge,
and those teeth are huge. I like my chances.
Yeah,
depends on the terrain, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe a tiger.
I was gonna say tiger.
Tiger would be a good one.
I was gonna say tiger, and I was like, if there's a because elephants are bigger than gorillas.
Yeah.
If you chose an elephant,
yeah,
you realize how huge that thing would be?
Well, the problem is, though, that, like...
I don't think an elephant would beat a gorilla.
The problem is, like, gorillas are the best, like, fighting animal. Like, you know, because it's kind of dumb and silly, but they have thumbs. And it's real. Like,
yeah, it's super helpful.
Right, and they, you know, they're smart. They can punch things, and they climb, and they're creative.
They
know,
can learn really, sign language.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
I think the only... Man, I'm trying to think. The only possible... there's not an animal that I think would give Godzilla a run for its money.
Yeah.
I think maybe if you set a shark and made it proportionally as big as God, like just as big as Godzilla, they fought in the water, might have a chance, but not really.
Yeah.
Like Godzilla's still going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why it's a fun question.
Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's got to be something that's quick.
To beat Godzilla?
Yeah, or to beat King Kong.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know either. That's why I'm asking. I think
gorilla's the perfect choice of like a real animal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe since we thought Smog would be interesting, maybe pick like an eagle or a hawk.
I feel like it would just jump up and grab it and slam it on the ground.
Maybe, but they're quick in the air. Maybe they can dodge
him. Well, I picked Smog because he can breathe fire.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's tough.
It is tough. Okay. So this is one that you originally asked me, I believe, when we first met a long time ago or early on. It's like, if you were to pick any animal and turn it into the size of a house to ride into battle, what animal would you choose?
Okay, so you've added your own twist with the size of the house part.
I did.
So what animal would I choose to run battle? I'm choosing a lion.
Yeah.
If I'm riding into battle, I'm choosing a lion.
Yeah. A lion or a tiger.
Yeah. Tiger.
Yeah.
I mean, war elephants are pretty sweet too. So,
but they're just not quick enough.
Yeah, but war elephants were insanely effective.
That's true.
Persians crushed people with war elephants.
They did. It also worked for that those guys in Lord of the Rings and Return of the King. Pretty effective.
There you go.
Or they were called Oliphants. Excuse me. Okay. Okay. All right. Overall reflections, final grades. What do you got?
This movie is an absolute A.
Yeah.
It is a perfect monster movie. So much fun.
Yeah.
And Godzilla reigns supreme.
Yeah. It was, I was amazed. You know, this movie's probably not going to win any awards unless it's for visual effects.
Sure.
Or sound mixing or something like that, something right. technical.
Yeah, yeah, obviously, yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. I was surprised with how much fun I had, and I was going to give it an A as well because I was like, man, this was fun.
Yeah, it was.
And I was like, it wasn't, I didn't, there was no complicated storylines, but that's okay. It's a movie to be made for entertainment.
This is the solely. Type of movie that if, like in 4 years, if I'm like scrolling through the TV guide and it just happens to be on TNT or whatever, I'm going to stop and watch it.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. Yeah. It's a fun, solid watch.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another episode of the Brad Report. We hope that you dug what you heard. We hope that you will like, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, follow us on social media. And until next time, love you 3000.